This is WRFR-LP 93.3 FM Rockland, broadcasting also on W257BI 99.3 FM Camden, and streaming on the web at WRFR.org.
On July 4th, 2015, I spoke with longtime Rockland resident and civic activist Sandra Schramm about the controversial proposal to build and operate a natural gas-burning power plant in her city. Sandra describes how the struggle over the proposed gas power plant is unfolding. She also responds to an op-ed by Rockland City Councilor Valerie Geiger, published this week in the Courier-Gazette. Geiger, who dubs herself as green as anyone in her essay, described why she supports what she calls this little gas plant. She mentioned also the city was negotiating with Natural Resources Council of Maine and Island Institute over their doing a review of the gas plant or making a recommendation for a reviewer. The plant would generate electricity for the grid, some steam for nearby businesses, and would include pipelines to both bring natural gas to Rockland and to send it from Rockland up and possibly down the Penobscot Bay coast as far as Belfast and St. George. Here's Sandra Schramm to fill in some of the blanks of this big gas project. And so, I want to go ahead and please welcome you to the show here.
Thank you, Ron.
All right.
It's a pleasure.
Well, you know, these are interesting days. There have been newspaper coverage. There hasn't been a whole lot on TV or other places.
No, there has not. And it's also a very struggling time for the residents of Rockland and the area with what's going on with our school, what's going on with our rec center, our library, and then news. All of a sudden, very sudden, it's dropped in that we may have a natural gas plant for Rockland.
And is there a general movement sort of promoting all of this at once? That is, you know, sort of a growth, think community development that looks at, let's do all these things at one time?
Well, it would seem that the council has come in with so many proposals and so many changes all at once because there's only a certain number of people in Rockland that can or will speak out. The rest of the people in Rockland, I feel some, they're probably for this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they haven't been here long enough to get to know the people. But other people are tied to friends of or family of members of the chamber or Main Street Rockland. Or they have friends or family that work for companies that are involved in this.
Mm.
And then there's those of us that get calls and emails from all of these people that saying, Are you watching this? What's going to happen? And there's a fairly large group of people that meet and get involved and discuss this,
mm-hmm.
but there's only a few people that are willing to put themselves out on the front line.
Ah, okay. Well, you know, it's sort of a Peyton Place thing, or however we're going to put it, and that is, as you say, there's entangling alliances, both economic and social and so on. And making waves in Maine has, you have to motivate a sufficient part of the population of Rockland, for example, and then things happen. And until then, though, it seems like it's like a sort of a competition struggle between interests.
That is true. And I think the lightning rod for the people of Rockland came this past week when Council Valerie Geiger did an interview, apparently with Dan Dunkel of the Courier-Gazette, which was published first online
mm-hmm.
and then in the local newspaper. And it was kind of difficult to read because in the beginning of the interview, she spends a great deal of time pointing out all of the positives for Rockland. You know, income from annual property revenue and 12 to 18 paying jobs, $200 million in construction spending, which the $200 million in construction spending, we all know that there's going to be a big company like Chinbro or somebody come in. And yeah, they may stay in hotels for a while and they may buy their lunches here and so forth. But those people are going to be here and gone.
Well, we'd presume then, you know, that even Chinbro isn't necessarily a natural gas plant. It's a rather specialized thing, a cogeneration gas plant.
This is a cogeneration gas plant. It will have two turbines, as I understand. One will produce steam and one will produce energy, which will go to the grid. And that brings me to another statement by Ms. Geiger in saying that, as far as she knows, Central Maine Power has already agreed to a 15-year contract with them. Well, our group has made a lot of calls this week, and there is no contract with EMI, Rockland Energy, or Evan Coleman for a 15-year contract. that cannot even be done until next May.
Now, I thought they even approached the PUC, I mean, gotten a decision from them.
That is correct. We have a letter from the PUC saying that they have not.
So what's going on here? I mean, are there simply mistakes? I mean, when I reported on this, people are going, "You liar! That's a lot of things I can't say on the air." Oh my gosh! I'm glad I'm covered with Teflon, or I'd just be prostrate. All the vicious angries. But
our job within the community is to report the facts. We're very careful about checking our sources and getting facts out to the people. Simply stated, what is in this article, a lot of it is hoopla intended to make people think that these huge job opportunities are coming and that you're going to get cheap energy, which is what people were told in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
She does state in her interview that would it lower electric bills for this city? No. And that raises the point for those that are concerned about this plant. If it's not going to do anything for Rockland other than bring in revenue for further spending, then why do we want it in Rockland, Maine?
Well, I guess, and the subsidy question from that is, why do they want it?
It would seem from this article and from what we've heard from the council, they outline that they're going to get a free public works garage, they're going to get a new city hall. Those things weren't on the table before the first vote that got defeated, when the plan got defeated. Those items came onto the list after the first vote and before the subsequent vote on Friday, May 1st, which they said they had to have that day in order to get their application into the PUC by the end of the day. That did not happen, even though they got their vote.
However, I have to say it worked in getting that vote.
Right? It did.
And so I'm not the only person that should be accused of stirring people up. You know, I think that they do an awfully good job of that, too. And as you say, those are mischaracterizations, untruths, lies, whatever.
Well, however you see the Rockland City Council, the fact remains that people have attended many, many council meetings in opposition to things that the council has proposed. And of late, meaning the last 2 to 3 years, it's become extremely difficult. You know, they want people to call them or send them emails or send them letters. And that, in our minds, prevents the public from hearing the other side.
Well, you know, that's why I decided, let's see how much of this stuff they're getting. And so I did a Freedom of Information Act request, you know, of different people at different times. And I don't find this huge storm of letters of support. And they'd be there if they were there. Where are they?
I agree with you. I read those documents, and I do not see a long list of letters in support.
No.
I see other letters of complaints about the way things are being done in the city and projects are being handled, but I didn't see a lot of support in there either. It's very difficult because if you're opposed to something and you go to a council meeting, we have this new rule now where the 3-minute rule, and I think even back when the library went to discuss the budget cuts to the library, they were cut to like 80 or 90 seconds, but nobody held to that, and the mayor was quoted as saying, "I couldn't enforce it. I would have had chaos in here."
Well, then we should just ignore these sort of limits. I mean, I've been cut off before. You know, and
as have I, and as have a lot of other people in mid-sentence. And we've also been disallowed from bringing exhibits into city council meetings.
Well, I think that right there, there's some constitutional questions there. If proponents of a project are allowed to bring their pictures, their maps, their diagrams in, then opponents are. This is America, democracy.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people on many, many subjects in Rockland, including the rec and the schools, and even though the schools aren't directly a city budget problem, there's a lot of issues that go before the council where both sides of the topic are not given equal time, thank you.
Well, that's
nor a fairness of time. We're being treated rudely, to put it bluntly, where the gavel is slamming while somebody is continuing to say, "Please sit down, please sit down, please sit down."
Mm-hmm. Now, so who's being treated nicely? Oh, you know, are there people who can have all the time in the world because they represent this group or that?
Well, it would seem that people bringing in proposals that the council is in favor of get that right. But that's not for me to say.
Sure, okay.
All I can say is my experience and other people that I know, when they go there with something that's in disagreement with the council, they're not treated fairly and they're not treated respectfully.
Well, that's
But I'd like to get back to the natural gas plant. I don't see this natural gas plant as any benefit to the city of Rockland other than perhaps these monetary things that are, that Ms. Geiger outlines in her interview.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that when you list the monetary reasons for a project before you list the negatives and you say that you have no problem with all of these things coming into with this coming into Rockland, and then you go on to start to talk about some of the negatives, but you say that you're using one entity such as the Natural Resource Council of Maine as your guidepost for making your decisions, and then the Natural Resource Council of Maine refutes that statement and asks for a retraction in the newspaper, that we have some problems.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, they certainly flamed me, too, the Natural Resources Council of Maine, and insisted I retract my lie. And all I can say is I say what I read in the papers, you know. And I soften my rhetoric and my complaint about them. But I think it's very important that Maine's biggest environmental group, big on natural gas and all that, this is a huge project. Remember, it's not just the, what she called, little gas plant.
No, she compared it to the gas plant in Bowdoin, Maine. Colby College. The one in Colby College is just a little tiny 600 kW plant. Mm-hmm. That's not even 1 megawatt. The plant that they're discussing here is 100 times larger than that.
Well, there.
It's 68 megawatts.
So let me ask you this. It's going to require pipelines to keep feeding it, right?
It is going to require pipelines.
Now, what is the story on that? I've heard from here, from there.
We've heard all sorts of stories. First, Evan Coleman of Clear Energy or EMI or Rockland Energy, whichever the case may be, said that the pipeline would be coming from Searsmont out to Belfast and directly down Route 1.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was another proposal that it comes straight down Route 17 from Windsor. I see Ms. Geiger has even taken it to the fact that it would possibly go north on Route 1 after it comes out into Belfast because people up there have been asking for natural gas.
Searsport?
Searsport and beyond, I'm not sure. I don't think she states that.
I know. I think Bangor has a lot closer pipeline accesses.
Well, I would think so.
Okay, well.
But the pipeline poses another problem. The size is being minimized, but we've read other pipelines that are connecting to this being installed as anywhere from 32 to, say, 42, 44 inches in diameter. That's
a lot of gas.
And in talking to people in Massachusetts, there's a group called No Frack Gas in Mass.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very large pipeline that's being, they're trying to put it through Western Massachusetts through the cities, towns of Deerfield and Northfield. And right now it's at a standstill because Massachusetts has a health ordinance that's been enacted based on the developer of this plant and their record. So far it is stalled out. It will go all the way across Western Massachusetts to the grid at Drake at Mass. Some of the concerns that the people in Massachusetts have is one of their contentions is that this is for export in their state. But if this line is opened in Maine and they have some people in Rockland using this, that it could be considered that not as much is going for export and possibly the pipeline will get passed in Massachusetts. There's question whether or not this pipeline coming into Rockland is for export.
Well,
certainly the energy that's developed is going to the grid, and it's going back to the states that have brownouts. Maine doesn't have an energy crisis at the moment, and Maine doesn't experience brownouts. Well, there are a few areas, like Boothbay Harbor in the summer when everybody gets there. But they're asking to have some assistance and some backup from Central Maine Power to prevent those brownouts.
Well, you know, this to me, it's like Gettysburg. This is the last gasp of big carbon going, we will take this area, and we will rule there and burn gas for decades and decades and make lots of money. And if it could, you think it could be stopped?
Do I think it can be stopped? I think it can be stopped if people take control of their community. I think this is totally unnecessary, just so that Rockland City Council gets to have a new public works garage and a new city hall, which it's debatable whether we need them or not. We probably do need a new public works garage, but do we need one that is on the scope that was defeated a couple of years ago? I and a lot of people don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think that Rockland has got way too many projects going for the pocketbook, and I think that it's kind of the adage that if you're on fire, you stop, drop, and roll.
I
think Rockland needs to slow things down just a little bit.
Well, you know, I think you're right. Something that I was down at the Rockland Breakwater yesterday, and this was one page of the things that I was handing out and having chats with people as they came to the breakwater. Little groups would come and we'd talk. What this shows is the amount of development around the bay. And, of course, if we go to more or less where we are now, this was done by the State Planning Office back in the 90s, actually. There's a fair amount of urbanization happening, but the long-range plan is to really, really sock it in there, as opposed to having rural areas. See how the rural shrinks and shrinks and shrinks and shrinks. And
they're filling in the grid.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the more they fill it in, the more there's a demand for energy. And
you're right. There is a demand for energy. But in this last week alone, in the newspapers, and I know this does not solve all of our problems immediately, but Camden Hills is looking to add solar to their high school. I read last night that the Camden town folks are discussing using solar for their municipal highway department garage.
I was at a Searsport meeting the other night, and the energy group that was there, sponsored by the Sierra Club, says let's do that in Belfast. They said, let's do that in Belfast.
Yes, Belfast is considering it as well. And the city of Brunswick has this week stated that they are going to explore a lot more use of solar, as their neighbor in Freeport has done and is having great success with.
So, and the city of Rockland is going, oh, more gas. What? Wait a minute.
I'm as confused as you, because we are first and foremost a tourist city. We have been a tourist city and the lobster capital of the world for maybe a century and a half.
A natural tourism thing, too. Not like Las Vegas.
And if you read about ecotourism and you read about progressive thinking people, where do they want a vacation? They want a vacation in places where it's cared about the environment. They want to come to a clean and healthy environment.
Beautiful place, too.
Who wants to come to the coast of Maine and have a natural gas plant and methane gas possibly in the air?
Sort of essence of Boston or New York or something, you know, or New Jersey. We have that aroma.
Well, even Massachusetts' record is improving all the time because they're shutting down their coal plants and they're not replacing them with as many natural gas plants as they did.
Well, you know, and here we have the benefit of not having any coal burning right now at all, so we can skip that step, I believe.
We can skip that, but now we want to build a natural gas plant and send the energy back to Massachusetts, who's got the best record in New England.
Well, well, we don't want that to happen in our state, but of course there are these people up north.
Exactly.
We're a little simple, huh?
Well, by comparison,
now, teach us for seceding.
Exactly. The city of Vermont, first of all, Burlington, Vermont, I'm sorry. In 2012, Vermont banned natural gas. And the city of Burlington has gone to hydroelectric and solar.
And we're not talking about a little town.
And they're thriving. No, we're not talking about a little town. I think it's over 55,000 people. And they are and flocking there in droves. People are moving there. They find it exciting, invigorating. They're moving there. They're sitting on the streets in all of the cafes. Burlington, Vermont probably has more road races for runners. It's the clean air.
Well, you know, we have a big bay next to us in the Gulf of Maine right down the block. And if we don't foul the air ourselves, it's beautiful air. I mean, did you see the schooner races yesterday?
I did. And I also see every weekend a great deal of road races, runners. and half marathons and 5Ks and 10Ks. Mm-hmm. And as this natural gas plant moves into Rockland, I would wager that they're going to start experiencing some problems after that plant's been here for a little while because of the natural component of chemicals that mm-hmm. come out of that plant.
Yeah, and that's chronically, 24/7, whatever, right? I mean, this is not one that's just to run during times of brownout somewhere else or anything, right?
It's being presented as it will operate year-round as far as what's being presented as our revenue income mm-hmm. from this plant.
So it's like an alternate future for Rockland. What do you think, what would be your preferred future for Rockland? You know,
Well, certainly I think Rockland should start looking into solar. We have a lot of solar technicians in this area now. A lot of homes can go solar. Maine, unfortunately, does not have good incentives. Some of those have been taken away, and I think there's another one that will be taken away at the end of this year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're hoping that the administration is going to receive enough heat on the topic that some of those are going to have to be brought back.
And if not, well, there'll be another administration before too long.
There will be, but right now Governor LePage seems to think that we're going to attract industry with natural gas. Now, Rockland is so far off the beaten path that the type of energy that is needed or the type of industry that requires such huge amounts of natural gas is not come here.
Right. I mean, very few of them are interested in expanding anything in Searsport, even. Searsport is a fuel center for this Midcoast, for this Midcoast area.
That's right.
You know, it is not this
number two heating oil and
right. It's not New Brunswick. It's not
New Brunswick and Nova Scotia as well. They are clamping down on natural gas.
Really?
Yes, they are shutting it down. The two, what are they? Provinces of Canada do not want natural gas anymore.
Well, they were doing a tremendous amount of underwater gassing. I mean, gas drilling and pumping and all that.
Yes.
It may well be also that's petering out, and they're realizing, guys, we have to go back to reality now.
Well, France banned fracking in 2011. Germany has banned fracking. Ireland has a no-fracking Ireland group, which is making great strides.
Oh, and those provinces also said no to fracking?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The Netherlands has a moratorium on fracking since September of 2013. New Zealand has very limited amount of fracking now.
Mm-hmm. Well, things sound like they're on the upswing, and we simply have to get our state to follow suit.
Well, I was in England not too long ago, and in England, they've gone to hydroelectric power, wind, and solar. As you know, England was famous for its pollution from coal-burning plants.
Right.
And it is so much better there now. And the government of Great Britain just shut down. There was a company that wanted to start a natural gas plant and do fracking in the northwest of the province. And the government said, no, it will kill our tourism and it will kill our real estate values.
Well, that's smart thinking. Now, we're going to have to take off here. I got a few other things to do in the show here. So what do you think Rockland people should do and others that are listening?
I think Rockland people should get informed. I think the city council plans to hold another forum, and I think that we should urge them to have 5 of the council members and 5 non-council members. If they want to also bring in experts, I think they should allow to bring in, say, 3 experts, and the people that understand the reasons why we shouldn't have this, bring in 3 experts.
Are you saying they should respect both points of view?
I think we should respect both points of view.
Well, this is the 4th of July. That makes perfect sense.
Independence Day.
That's right.
Yes.
Let's be independent from carbon, folks. Hey, thank you very much, Sandra, for being on here. I really appreciate it. Sandra Schramm, longtime civic activist here at Rockland. Thank you very much.
For more about what's happening in and around Maine's biggest bay and how you can be involved, look up Friends of Penobscot Bay or go to penbay.net.